the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, let's get at it. It is a Tuesday, November 19th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome alongside Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Lots to get to this hour on the program. Daily Flames Roundtable and a whole lot more, but Vix, hello, first of all. Hi, buddy.
Hey, pal. How's it going?
Good, man. I wanted to start by, and we've been talking a lot about goaltending over the last little bit, and I thought that was a good place to start on this Tuesday as well, because here's Dustin Wolf going to make his second consecutive start, and that just makes a whole lot of sense. He'll go Tuesday night against the New York Islanders. He'll do that because he picked up the shutout on Friday against the Nashville Predators, and I mean, you get a shutout. I've always subscribed to the theory, like, you get a shutout, you go right back in. Doesn't matter what the situation is. I've always felt like, hey, it's a good little rule to live by. You pick up the goose egg, you should go right back in. And that's exactly what's going to happen against the Islanders. But I still, like, make no mistake, as we approach the first quarter mark of the season, we're still a few games away from the Flames being a quarter of the way through their season. Like, this remains very much a tandem. And that's been one of my biggest takeaways from the season, is just how evenly these two guys, Dustin and Dan Vladar, have played. And I know that there is a little bit of a groundswell from some pockets that, you know, Dustin Wolf, like, just anoint him the starter and make him the number one right now and start giving him all the games or giving him 75% of the games or whatever the case may be. And I don't think that's where we are yet. I don't think that's where we should be yet. These guys are both going to play a lot, and these guys should both play a lot. I do think Dustin has been the better of the two by a small margin, but they're both giving you an opportunity to win. They're both giving the Flames an opportunity to come away with 2 points on a nightly basis. And yes, after a shutout, of course going to Wolf is the way to go. Same way they went back to Vladar after he picked up the shutout against New Jersey a few weeks ago. This was head coach Ryan Husko when quizzed about his goaltending usage on Tuesday morning.
It's a pretty easy decision to start the goalie you're going to start.
Yeah, because we set that precedence before. So he's deserving of another opportunity today for sure.
If he gets another one, then what do?
I keep rolling. Okay. Yeah, I can say that now. I'm not afraid to say that now. Yeah, keep it on the record.
So that is just for clarity. That's the rule. If you get a shutout, the next start.
I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a rule, but I just feel like it's the right thing to do. I remember in the minors we had a couple goaltenders that we were treating the same along the way because they were both prospects again for us, and we did that for them, and they were totally fine with it. So it's I think the right thing to do.
So not a rule by any stretch of the imagination, but this one makes sense. I loved Francis's laugh when Danny went to clarify. I don't know what exactly had Francis laughing so hard, but I thought that was very cute in the background as well.
I think it was the line of questioning because it was pretty humorous. Where it's automatic. You're gonna go with the guy that just made 29 saves in a shutout performance that he gets some time to go again. And it's not like a back-to-back situation where you really need to think about it. You've had some time off. But then the next question, well, what if he gets another one? Well, he's just going to stay in. Well, just to be clear, if you run the table here for the remaining 68 games of the season,
what if
you getting them all?
What if you never let in another goal?
Exactly.
Does that mean the Dustin just keeps on going the rest of the way?
I mean, and that's why it's not a rule, but it's probably a very strong suggestion from the goaltending department of the Calgary Flames where, they did set the precedent. If I'm not mistaken, this is only the second time a goalie has made back-to-back starts. As you mentioned, the first one, Vladar coming off of a shutout. Now Wolf coming off of a shutout. So not
I believe this is the second time Wolf has gone back to like has gone.
Okay, there was one more. Oh, because he had the one game where he.
I believe he went to the first two games of that three-game road trip. Yeah,
Montreal.
Yes, Montreal. Yeah. Then because he was really good in Montreal. Remember, he was outstanding in the first period, and then they kept on finding. Even though they weren't getting a lot of shots, they kept on finding ways to get some pretty quality opportunities in the back 40s. So he was good there. Then he went in Boston a couple of nights later. So for Dustin, this will end up. Actually being, this will be his fifth start in 5th and 7 for Dustin Wolf.
So maybe a little bit of a run then if you look at it from that perspective.
But I don't get the sense that that is going to be something that we see a ton of going forward. Like I do think that this remains a tandem, and I think we're now into the stretch of this being a tandem where maybe, like, for the first 10 whatever games it was flip-flopping. It was Vladar, Wolf, didn't matter what the what the result was. Now I think we're into the stretch of the season as we move into the quarter stages and we move into the second quarter of the year. Now I think that we're into the stage where you can get on a run, but that run doesn't last indefinitely. And, you know, you're still talking about the other guy getting an opportunity to win back a run of his own. Like, so it feels now like maybe the competition part of this tandem really starts to ramp up between Vladar and Wolf. So I don't, like, by no means do I think they've anointed Dustin the starter, nor do I think they should anoint him the starter at this point, or the number one at this point. I think this remains a tandem because both guys have put up really strong numbers. Both guys have contributed to some of the best goaltending numbers in the NHL, which we'll get to in just a second. And Dustin's not the only guy who's been a part of that. Dan Vladar has been very strong. And so while I do think Dustin has been marginally better, and I do think that he has been the better of the two, that's not because Vladar has been poor. And as such, why not? Like, if their goal is to make the playoffs, why not make it so both your goaltenders are fresh once you get there, and then you can make a decision because you got two fresh goalies and make a call as to who you want to be your playoff goaltender. And I know that that is getting way ahead of ourselves, but inside that room, they have one goal in mind. Inside those four walls, Ryan Huska and that roster is there to make a playoff, to make the playoffs and to clinch playoff spots. So whether you like that or not, that's what they're striving towards. And so, I mean, just everything still makes sense to be using both these goalies a lot.
Absolutely. And they're in different situations, but there's still question marks surrounding each of them, which we'll get to. But what do you gain if you're the Calgary Flames and you name one of Wolf or Vladar your number one and anoint the second one your backup? You don't gain anything whatsoever. You don't allow the margin for error to be all that significant when you come out on, say, December 1, it so happens to be, and go, okay, Dustin Wolf's our starter the rest of the way, and he's going to carry 75 or 80% of the workload from here on out. Okay, then he struggles, and then you run Dan Vladar through a stretch where he gets hot, and all of a sudden he starts 8 of 9. But wait, he's the backup. There's just nothing to gain by declaring this one being a starter, the other one being a backup, or even going, this guy's a 1A, this guy's a 1B. No, they're just both going to be 1As for the time being. Let the body of work stand for themselves for each individual goalie, which it has through the first 18 games of the season, and it's bode really well for the Calgary Flames so far. So there's no reason to... I understand the clamoring for wanting your 23-year-old prospect goalie who's been...
And maybe like your goaltender of the future, right?
And quite... Well, that's the goal. I think that's exactly what they're sort of trying to test out, and won't be solved over the duration of just this season. It'll be a sort of a work in progress. But I understand trying to anoint the guy that was CHL Goalie of the Year, two-time AHL Goalie of the Year, AHL MVP, who's dominated at every step he's gone, to just rush him and anoint him the 65-ish game starter. But that's not how this is going to work, nor should it.
Yeah. Here are the numbers, by the way, on the tandem, first of all. So as a team, the Flames are number one overall with a .943 save percentage at 5-on-5. They're sixth when it comes to their all-situation save percentage at .909. So the tandem is working right now. And that, to me, is why I'm like, you don't need to drastically change your plans. Again, I think we're at a point now where guys can start getting on runs. I think we're at the point now where guys can start to maybe get, like, Dustin's going to start his fifth and seventh. I think that we can start to get into some of those situations right now, and you can make your calls based on performance a little bit more. But I don't think you want to get away from getting both guys plenty of work, because that's been a big part of what has led to this team's success so far. And I do think it's important to manage minutes for both guys. Right, I think it's important to manage Wolf's minutes because he's never played this much in the NHL. Let's not forget, this is the first NHL season for Dustin Wolf full-time from the start. Yep. So why overload him? And the same is true with Vladar, who is also taking on the most workload he's ever seen at the NHL level. Like, why overload either guys right now when you've got two that you're comfortable with?
Well, especially when you take into consideration, and some might roll their eyes at this, but Dustin Wolf is the lightest goalie in the NHL at 166 pounds. This is the NHL. This is the fastest league. This is the hardest league to stay in. There are going to be nights where if you don't have a tandem like the Calgary Flames have and have that luxury, where Wolf would run the chance of being run down a little bit. It's just the nature of the league that he's playing. Same with Vladar, you mentioned. He's never had this workload before. He's always been a backup, particularly in Calgary, to Jacob Markstrom. But also the fact that he's coming off hip surgery, that's in something that you're going to be wanting to monitor sort of day in, day out, so that you're not ramping him up too quickly. Now, I know the surgery was back in the spring and we're through training camp, we're through the first month of the season, but that's always going to be something that you're going to want to keep an eye on in the first half of a season back coming off of major surgery. So the fact that you can roll out both of these goaltenders, Dustin Wolf's played 545 minutes, Dan Vladar's played 542. So we're talking about a damn near dead even split in terms of workload. If you have two goalies that are capable of putting up the performances they have and they're still going to be fresh, you have no reason to sort of not go this route at this point.
By the way, I think with Wolf starting on Tuesday night, he'll not finally, but for the first time, he'll kind of take the lead in the starts department, because it had gone Vladar, because he started night one, because he was the first to get back-to-back starts. He had been the guy with more starts, and then Wolf would catch him, and then Vladar would go back out in front by one for the first time. This is game 19, Wolf getting his 10th start, and Vladar at 9 as it stands right now. So I think that's kind of interesting as well, the way it's gone. Here are the kind of individual numbers on him. Wolf is tied for second in the NHL with a 955 save percentage at 5-on-5. In that same metric, Vladar is 14th, so you've got two top 15 goalies when it comes to their 5-on-5 save percentages. Overall, their save percentages, Wolf is 8th at 921, and Vladar tied for 24th at 906. When it comes to goals saved above expected over at Money Puck, Wolf is 14th with 6, Vladar 24th at 1.7 goals saved above expected, and then at 5-on-5, Wolf 4th and Vladar 15th. So again, we're talking about as a tandem, one of the better tandems in the NHL, and individually, both have been holding their own compared to the rest of the NHL. So I'm very much of the mind, just keep on rolling them out, keep rolling these guys out, and keep both of them playing for the time being. And I don't know if at any point this year we'll be at a situation where we're truly looking at a, you know, quote-unquote number one goaltender.
No, and when you look at even some of the more simpler statistics, Vladar sitting at a 2.65 goals against average, Wolf sitting at a 2.53, so we're not talking about a massive sort of chasm between the numbers where one goalie is blowing the doors off of it and the other one's struggling. You're in a situation where you can go 50-50 workload, and you generally know what, that's the other thing too, you generally know what you're getting every night, regardless of whether it's Wolf or Vladar. There's only been, what, maybe the one sort of iffy start that the Calgary Flames have gotten this season out of their goaltending. So you're looking at probably 17 of 18 games where you're like, the goalie either gave us a chance to win or better for the Calgary Flames, and it doesn't matter if it's Wolf or it's Vladar. When you look at the workload that they've had, you're in a good spot if you're the Calgary Flames, regardless of who you roll out. And I always kind of get a kick at times where you're doing a story, you just want to get some intel, and you ask a player, it's usually a defenseman, about, oh, goalie X. And it's like, oh, yeah, goalie X has been great for us. So is goalie Y, and we're comfortable with either that's in. And it's like, oh, come on. Come on. We're talking about the starter. Versus, yeah, and I understand this is a true situation where it doesn't matter who's been in between the pipes for the Calgary Flames. And, yes, Wolf does have slightly better numbers, but each goalie has equally given the Calgary Flames an opportunity to win hockey games.
A few texts at 960, 960. Did you mention Dustin Wolf's weight at any point?
I did.
Okay, because
the lightest at 166, according to NHL.com.
That made Ned angry. Ned says, what does Dustin Wolf's weight have anything to do with him in the NHL? Probably the only position where weight doesn't matter. Probably better on his hips and joints being lighter. So you've sparked
something. I mean, there's a lot of defensemen bumping and crashing into your crease at all times. I would assume more mass would help deflect some of that.
At this point, like, his size, height, and weight, like, the way he's playing, I don't even think about that anymore. And that's a testament to him. Like, I can't remember the last time, or I can't remember this season when I've been like, oh, boy, man, Dustin Wolf, you are just too light or too small to play in this league. And I give him a lot of credit for being able to change that paradigm, because that was the number one thing that, to a person, everybody spoke about when talking about this
guy. How's he going to battle traffic?
Exactly. And now I don't ever think about it, and that's because of how well he's played. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised, because he's been able to not have that be a factor at every other level. So, you know, when sometimes history is a little bit of a predictor in terms of what's going to happen in the future. So good for him in that regard. This from Derek in Red Deer. You also don't want to anoint a number one to help with Vladar's trade value. It's a better bargaining chip trading a shared time goaltender as opposed to a backup, which is a very fair point. I don't think Ryan Huska is worrying about that stuff. But from a management standpoint, I think that is a very accurate comment, rather, from Derek.
Yeah, you're in a situation where this is sort of the luxury the Calgary Flames have right now. We're talking Wolf and Vladar. Go down to the Wranglers stats and take a look at what Devin Cooley's doing down there with the Wranglers. What is it, like, in the neighborhood of a 950 save percentage in the American Hockey League? So, yeah, you're a situation if you're general manager Craig Conroy and you get a call or two about perhaps Dan Vladar, depending on what you see as his future with the Calgary Flames. You're comfortable because of the organizational depth you've built, but also you don't have to do anything either, which puts the trade in your advantage. You're not trading from a position of weakness. You're trading from a position of strength.
This text reads, do you guys think that if the Flames, that it's in the Flames' best interest to play both, let Wolf get accustomed to the league without the weight on his shoulders, meanwhile getting Vladar up to speed so you have a valuable goalie to offer at the trade deadline and move on to Wolf being your A next year if the rest of the season goes well? I do think there's something valid to that point about, as we just said, about the whole trade idea. This says, such a great problem to have, being able to switch around players to cater to the other team's strengths and weaknesses. Tandems seem to be the way to go nowadays, and the Flames have got a great one. And this reads, when it comes down to it, a good goalie's a good goalie. Ryan Miller was tall but light and got it done. When Brizgalov was in his prime, he was the roly-poly goalie. It's more mental than physical to a degree. That's the text line so far at 960, 960, which is open whenever we're on Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts, and, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Tuesday, a big night for Matt Coronato as well. It is Steinberg and Vickers along with you on Flames Talk on this Tuesday. And for the first time in Matt Coronato's NHL career, he'll take on the team he grew up cheering for. He's a Long Island guy. Long Island. That's how you get
that's your
hard G. Long Island. The New York Islanders were the team he cheered for growing up. Played all his minor hockey on Long Island, so on and so forth.
Shout out to the Gulls.
And he has yet to play his childhood NHL team in his NHL career, as Matt spoke about that on Tuesday morning.
It's definitely cool. It's an exciting night for me. I grew up watching the Islanders all the time, so it'll be fun to play against them.
Do you subscribe to the playing your childhood team or hometown team or anything like that? Do you describe to the hammering, yeah, the anytime goal bet?
Well, I don't know about the anytime goal bet, but I do buy into it a little bit. And you think back to last season when Dustin, or even a season and a half ago when Dustin Wolf
made his
NHL debut against the Sharks.
I always buy in.
Yeah? At what point is it over for you? Like, if we're 3 years into Matt Coronato's career and he's playing the New York Islanders, are you still all about it?
Yeah.
Where are you on revenge games?
Also, okay, big on hammering the anytime goal, just because I do think that it makes a I do think that it makes a difference sometimes. I mean, I can't really even count the number of times that you're like, oh, this guy. I remember, like, the first one that I remember it happening for was Eric Nystrom, the former first rounder of the Flames, and I remember he went back and played the Islanders for the first time. Obviously, his dad's Bob Nystrom, yep, and there's so much history with him on the island. And so I remember the first time he went back there, and everybody was making such a big deal about it. And he scored, I believe he scored 2 goals in his first ever game on the island, so on and so forth. I just think that it is. I think it's a legit betting trend that you see often enough that I think that you have to give it some credence.
See, I hate anytime goals to start with because the sport is so completely random at times, but I can buy it a little bit. So for me, if I were looking at it from your perspective, I could see the first game ever against the Islanders and then the first game at the New York Islanders, and then for me, maybe it's done a little bit, or the first revenge game and then that's it. But I'm not a big anytime goals guy to start with. But good on Matt Coronato. He's going to get a chance to live out the dream. Grew up idolizing certain players. Maybe a surprise, if you will. I don't know if I'll tip the hat because I imagine it might be upcoming. But, yeah, I can get behind the local kid getting to play the New York Islanders, the hometown team, for the first time, and he certainly was the center of attention this morning.
What are we seeing from him on this line with Blake Coleman and Michael Backlund? Like, how are we feeling about his game and how he's played since the recall? Because I know the coaching staff has been pretty happy with it. They've kept him on that line, so you can tell that they're pretty happy with the way things are going.
And they've kept him on that line late in games when protecting a lead, which I think speaks volumes to the ability of Matt Coronato to impact the game, not just in the offensive end, but in the neutral zone and the defensive zone as well. And his attention to detail has looked a lot more comfortable. Not that it was poor before, but a lot more comfortable at 5-on-5 in protecting leads in situations and roles where your primary goal isn't necessarily to put the puck in the opposition's net in a more shutdown role. I think he's looked calmer, quieter in his own end in a good way, and I think he's picked up a lot of the systems work and the sort of attention to detail that Ryan Huska is looking for out of him.
Let's hear from Ryan Huska. He spoke about that on Tuesday after practice, what he's seen from Matt Coronato since the recall.
I think there's been growth in many different areas in his game. I think he still has a lot of swagger offensively with the puck, but I think now with where we're using him, I think there's even more of a belief that he can impact the game different ways, because key times of a game, Michael and Blake are on the ice, so that means he's being put out there. But he's not just, hey, he's on that line, let's keep him there. He's out there because he's done a really good job, and he's kind of earned that bit of extra ice time. So we're really happy with how he's coming along.
What details is he best at?
One is the work side of things. Like, he's always working on the ice, which we appreciate from him, but I think he's got a better understanding of when your opponent has the puck compared to when we have the puck as to how he needs to be positionally.
I think he's only going to keep getting better playing on that line. And the other thing is, I think the offense is going to start to become more of a regular thing. And it's not like he's having a poor offensive season. Like, he's still been able to put up points. He's sitting at 7 points in 13 games, so a little more than a half point per game. But I just think as time enough or as time goes on, and the more he plays on that line, just the more comfortable he's going to be, the more comfortable he is, I think the more that we see the offense start to come for him.
Yeah, and to your point, it's not as if it hasn't been there. He's on pace for 30 goals this season, and whether or not he gets there will play out over the next few months. But the fact that he looks comfortable in all situations, in all three zones, just speaks to the work ethic, as Ryan Huska mentioned, where you're not going to see him take too many shifts off. and then that growing attention to detail, and of course the shot that he possesses. Like that when he went down, and I know it was only two games, we went down to the Calgary Wranglers, and there was sort of that uproar about how can you send him down. Well, yeah, it was a numbers game. Give him a few moments, he'll get back up. And to me, he's looked like he's fit right in with the Flames.
Steinberg Vickers underway this hour on Flames Talk as we continue along from the Scotiabank Saddledome. We're hanging out here in the Hot Stove Lounge, and this hour of Flames Talk is all emanating back, being produced from, thanks to our buddies Cam and Shan from the Groundworks Downtown Studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for your daily Flames Roundtable. Welcome back to this hour of the program. It's Flames Talk on a Tuesday. Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, and on the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We're hanging in the Hot Stove Lounge, so it's an in-person roundtable on this Tuesday. Gents, you know, Vix and I spoke about goaltending to kick off the hour for a few minutes, and just throw a couple of these stats at you once again. Guys, the Flames are first overall in the NHL right now, approaching the quarter mark of the season with a 9.43 save percentage at 5-on-5. That's number one overall. They sit sixth overall with a 9.09 save percentage in all situations. So, gents, are we at the point now where we are ready to expect the Flames to have some of the league's best goaltending the rest of the season? Or is the jury still out for you in terms of what this tandem ends up being going forward? It's kind of similar to yesterday's question, Monday's question about the overall and the playoff conversation. Where are you on the goaltending conversation and kind of what conclusions you've been able to draw to this point?
Well, I would say never say never. But I think it would be unfair to expect the tandem of Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar to continue to lead the NHL in even strength save percentage. I mean, for Vladar, this is his first time as a 1A slash 1B, whatever you want to number him and letter him. And for Dustin Wolf, this is his first full season in the National Hockey League. So they're off to a great start. And I say never because you never know. But I certainly don't expect them to be, if not the best goaltending tandem, then one of the best goaltending tandems in the NHL when 82 games are in the books this season. But both guys have played really well to this point. As I said yesterday, I think that Wolf's probably been a little bit better than Vladar. But, you know, if you want to play devil's advocate, I would say Vladar has had the tough for the two schedules because they've used him way more on the road than they have at home, and they've used him in some tougher spots. So it's been great. It's been the biggest strength for this team 18 games into the season, and I thought it was the biggest question mark for this team at the start of the season. But to expect this to continue throughout the season, I think, would be a lot to ask. And then the other thing I do wonder about, more so with Wolf than Vladar, is he doesn't have a real thick book as an NHL goaltender. The more looks teams get at him, I do wonder if they'll try to exploit whatever weaknesses he may or may not have. So maybe that'll be a factor once he gets more games under his belt.
Yeah, and looking at the question, is the jury still out for you? I go, yeah, we're talking it's way too early in the season, but then you run through 18 of 82 games is 22%, so that's a good chunk of sample size you have to look at. And then you run through the numbers. Well, do I expect them to be first overall on 5-on-5 save percentage at 9.43? No, I think we'll see a little bit of regression, but they're still sixth overall at 9.09 save percentage in all situations. And I look at a power or a penalty kill, pardon me, that's 27th in the league at 73.6. And you got to think at some point that swings closer to league average than it is where it is right now with only five teams below them. So in theory, they're all situations. I could see a slight bump up. They're 5-on-5, maybe a slight down. So are we kind of just negating the difference here at this point? I can see the scenario where, yeah, the Calgary Flames hover right in that sort of top five mark in all situations. And again, we're talking about almost a full quarter of a season. At what point do I need personally, do I need to get to 50% of the schedule done? Do I need to get 60? Like, right. We're starting to get into semantics Vickers here in terms of sample size. But looking at 22%, Like, that is not insignificant. So I think the expectation can shift, at least from my perspective, into what we've seen so far out of this tandem is what we can sort of come to expect, at least from my perspective.
I mean, here's what I think the jury is not out on for me, is that I think the Flames have NHL goaltending. And I think that is something that through 22% of the season or 18 games of the season, I think that is something that you absolutely can now expect as a baseline in being NHL quality on a nightly basis. And, you know, that we've kind of come to expect that with Jacob Markstrom here for the last number of years. You knew that you had a number one goaltender, and Vladar had been pretty good as his backup. But you go back before Jacob, and you couldn't always expect, you know, NHL caliber goaltending on a nightly basis. And so that to me is the baseline they've set, which I think is even more significant, knowing that we didn't know if that was going to be the case. Like, we had no idea how Dan was going to look coming off of the hip surgery. We had no idea what Dustin Wolf was going to look like playing NHL, not in garbage time at the end of the season, and, you know, not with Jacob Markstrom as his safety net. Now there's a whole lot less of a safety net, and both guys have responded very positively. Like, of course, there are still some significant questions for me. Like, number one, what happens as the workload gets harder? What happens is, you know, there's more wear and tear. We don't know. And as Kevin Woodley always says, like, until you see a goalie take on 40 plus games, 50 plus games, whatever, you don't know if they're capable of it. I don't know if either of those guys gets to that number this year, but, you know, Dustin Wolf's never played 30 plus, 40 plus games in an NHL season. Neither has Vladar. So, you know, there's still some question marks going forward, but I think they've proven that they can give the Flames NHL quality goaltending on a nightly basis. And based on the unknowns that surrounded everything coming into the year, I think that in and of itself is a really good thing to accomplish. And then you can build on that, and maybe they can continue being a pretty solid tandem for the team this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you could look at it two different ways. Will they wear down as the season goes on? Maybe, because as you pointed out, this is the first time that these guys, well, in Wolf's case, has been a full-time NHLer, and in Vladar's case, has been a 1A or a 1B. So maybe that could happen. But on the flip side, you could also argue that they're both young and should continue to improve. If they're not the youngest tandem in the NHL, then I've got to think that Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf, without looking this up, and I will look it up later, at the age of 27 and 23 respectively, have to be one of the youngest tandems in the league. So, you know, both of these guys, we watch them day in, day out at practice and in games, and they're putting in the work, and, you know, they've got a great goaltending department here with Jordan Sigott and Jason LaBarbera. So, you know, both of these guys should continue to improve. I don't think either one of them is in their prime at this point in their career, so that's exciting for me as well. But they're off to a phenomenal start. If you want to know how good the Flames goaltenders have been, here's a stat that will help, I think, because I know it certainly impacted me when Megan Mickelson shared it with me at the morning skate today. The Flames have not scored more than 3 goals in a game in 15 straight. That doesn't include one 4-3 shootout win, because that fourth goal was a shootout goal. So pretty crazy. And this is a 3-2 league, but on a lot of nights, you got to score more than 3. And the Flames haven't done that in 15 games, and they're still 6-6-3 during that stretch. So I think that speaks pretty loudly about how good Wolf and Vladar have been.
I think for me, what gives me optimism that we can sort of stop questioning the goaltending to the level at least I have prior to the season through training camp and through the first segment of the season is we've seen by and large a platoon. It's one guy one night, it's the other guy the next night, so on and so forth. But we'll get to a point in the schedule where that's not necessarily going to be the case. And if one goalie falters, well, you might see the other goalie get a run of games where you're basically riding the hot hand. So even though both goaltenders might not be playing to a league best 943 5-on-5 collective save percentage, you'll be playing the guy that is firing on more cylinders more often than just doing a you're in this night, you're in the next night, and basically picking the hot goalie and giving them a stretch of games.
Yeah, I've been impressed so far, and we'll see how they can continue building on what continues to be the best 5-on-5 save percentage in the NHL at .943. It's our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, and my name is Pat Steinberg. Guys, on the other side, from a really positive topic to one that you're like, okay, this one at some point is going to have to work itself out. Andrei Kuzmenko has now gone 14 consecutive games without a goal. He has one goal all season and just two assists in his last 10 games. What are we seeing? What's happening here with Andrei Kuzmenko? What are we observing with Calgary's number 96?
Simply put, he's not shooting the puck. And Aaron and I had this conversation before you came back this afternoon, Pat. I asked Aaron what he thought Andrei Kuzmenko's best weapon was, and he hummed and hawed because he's got some skill. I mean, he's got great edges, and I think he's a really creative player. But for me, and Aaron, after thinking about it, agreed with me, his shot is his best weapon. And we've watched him after practice some days, just working on that shot. The puck absolutely explodes off his stick. So, Aaron, you're not allowed to chime in on this. Pat, I'm going to ask you a little trivia question here. So Andrei Kuzmenko has played in 18 games this season. In how many of those games has he had more than two shots on goal?
Of the 18?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, how many of them has he had more than two? I'll say five.
Zero.
Wow, hey.
He has had...
And I went low on purpose.
He has had two shots in eight games, which means he's had zero shots or one shot in 10 games.
Wow.
That's not good enough. It looks like he's trying to stick handle himself... or stick handle a hole into the ice sometimes. And, yeah, he's got an incredible amount of skill. He's got those great edges so he can twist and he can turn and protect the puck. He's strong, and he's a really good stick handler. But his best weapon is his shot. If you want to score goals, you have to shoot the puck. So, and I know the coaches have been hammering him about this, and I'm sure his teammates have been as well. He's got to shoot. You want to score? Shoot. So... for me, it's as simple as that. If he starts shooting, he'll start scoring.
He had 9 goals in 11 games to close out the season last year.
Oof.
9 and 11, and his 17 points in those final 11 games were top 5 in the entire NHL. He had just one shot or fewer in 2 of those 11 games going down the stretch last season. We can all point and go, okay, they're eliminated. It's garbage time. They made a whole bunch of deals. There's no stress. There's no... nothing on the line for the Calgary Flames in that sort of scenario. You're playing loose, you're playing free. But 9 goals in 11 games to close out last year and then 1 in 18 to start this year, I can't necessarily put my finger on it beyond he's not getting pucks to the net, as you mentioned, Willsy. At times I feel like he's a little too confident with the puck, if that makes any sense, because he's very strong at protecting the puck. His hands are elite. And I think that gives him the confidence to try one or two extra moves that he doesn't need to make in order to still have a quality scoring opportunity. And he's just trying to force that one extra play.
Yeah,
which
plays are dying on a stick.
Plays are dying on a stick. Yeah. That's a perfect way to sort of illustrate that. Other than the shots and the trying one too many things, I don't really have too many theories how a guy can go from a near point-per-game pace over 11 to 1 in 18 to start this
year. Well, I mean, I will... I will say that, I mean, was this not the rap on Kuzmenko when he came here? Like, was this not kind of exactly what the book was on him? Like, sometimes he looks great, sometimes he is dynamic, and sometimes he's infuriating, invisible, detrimental, whatever. That was a big reason why Vancouver was, you know, not enamored with him before trading him to Calgary in the Lindholm trade last year. And it took a little while for him to get going in Calgary, which I think we can all understand. And then it got going and it was good. And this year, I actually thought he had a pretty decent start to the season. Yep. He scores that game winner against Chicago on the nice redirect and really hasn't done much of anything since then. And I think he's really hard on himself. I know he's kind of enigmatic and all those types of things, but I do think he's really hard on himself. I think that he has a very high standard for, you know, how he wants to play and, more importantly, how he wants to help the team. So I think we're talking about a guy who's now up in his head in a big way as well, because this is a guy that thrives on producing points, and he's not producing points. I'm with you. Like, I know Anthony Mantha is no longer with the team, but why not take that same route that you took with Mantha to start the season with Kuzmenko? Like, try to get him to a target of shots and just, hey, we want you to be at 250 shots by the end of the year or 200 shots by the end of the year, and that means you have to hit this amount on average per game, and give him that target, because I'm with you. His shot is very good. He's got one of the two or three best shots on the team, especially with Mantha no longer able to play this year. So, yeah, I think that, number one, we're seeing kind of what Kuzmenko is, an enigmatic, inconsistent player who has extremely high-end skill when he's on and can be this when he's off. But I do think that he's up in his head, and I wonder if that's a way to maybe help get him out of his head here.
Yeah, and I suspect if the Flames can get actually, I'm going to take that back. If Andre Kuzmenko can get himself going, because the Flames have moved him around. They've tried him on both wings. They've tried him with some different centermen. So they've done what they can. They've tried him on a couple of different power play units. They've done what they can. It's up to him now. He's got to start following the direction that the coaches are giving him. But if he can get himself going, I suspect the Flames' power play follows in line with that. Because think about what helped them turn their power play around late last season. Probably a few things. Number one, they went from Mark Savard being in charge of that to Cale Maclean. Number two, Mackenzie Weegar started doing an even better job getting pucks to the net from the point. And then number three, they acquired Andre Kuzmenko from the Canucks, and he gave them that presence down low that they simply didn't have prior to that trade. And teams had to defend the Flames differently because of how they had to defend him. So I think if Kuzmenko starts scoring, the power play will probably start going as well. And, you know, I asked Ryan Huska about it this morning. I've had a lot of coaches and players tell me in the past that quite often the confidence of team's best players is fueled by success on the power play. If they're getting their goals and their points on the power play, that tends to lead to more goals and points 5-on-5 because it builds up their confidence. And he actually said he thinks it's the opposite of that. He thinks if you play the right way and have success 5-on-5, that'll lead to more success on the power play, which is kind of in line with what we've been hearing from Flames coaches and players of late. We have to have more of a 5-on-5 mentality when we're on the power play. We have to outwork penalty kills when we're on the power play. But, you know, there are a number of top offensive players on this team, and Andre Kuzmenko is not the only one. You know, Rasmus Anderson, pointless in 7, goalless in 10. Yegor Sharangovich, goalless and pointless in 4, 2 goals and points in 11 games this season. Connor Terry is playing great, but he's goalless and pointless in 5. Mackenzie Weegar, goalless in 12. Martin Pospisil, pointless in 15, goalless in 17. If they can get some of these guys going and even score one more goal per game, they're going to be an even tougher team to beat. So Kuzmenko is going to be important both 5-on-5 and on the power play. So if he can get one and get that monkey off his back, maybe that gets him going.
Yep. You mentioned all the players that are sort of in a little bit of a drought right now. Kuzmenko not just on an island on this, but the Flames have still managed to win 2 of 3 and have points in 5 and 6.
Yep.
So goes back to, like, I had to make a note of it, that mix stat where they haven't scored more than 3 goals in 15 straight games, and yet they've still managed to put themselves in a position where we can realistically have a conversation about the Flames being in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving. So it's a credit to the defensive structure. It's a credit to the goaltending. But yeah, if you could get a couple of these players going, Kuzmenko included, then the Calgary Flames are going to be in a much more comfortable spot.
Yeah, and I just, you know, Ryan Huska comes into here in the hot stove after every game day avail at home and meets with the two broadcast crews and you know, just listening to him talk about Kuzmenko as well, like, it's very clear that simplify the game, need to shoot the puck more, needs to be a little bit more direct with his game, because he kind of now, because I think he's overthinking it as much as he is, not only is he stick handling too much, like, he's stick handling himself out of good situations. Like, his shot is good enough that top of the circle, for a lot of guys, that's an outside shot. For Kuzmenko, that's a dangerous shot. You know, there are certain guys that kind of buck the high danger house area, and when you've got a good outside shot, you want to use it. And what's the worst thing that can happen is, as Coach Huska said, like, worst thing that happens is you get an offensive zone faceoff. Goalie makes the stop and freezes it, and you get the O-zone faceoff. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Number two, you force a rebound, and maybe you can dig something up, get another quality opportunity, or continue on with possession and keep that defending team tired. Like, the more that with his shot, the more he shoots it, the better that it is for the team in the offensive zone. So somehow got to get that through his head.
And that was the same message that the coaches delivered to Anthony Mantha at the start of the season. To your point, with that 300 shot goal, which was probably never attainable and certainly isn't now. But yeah, I think the same applies to Andre Kuzmenko. Much like Yegor Sharangovich, his shot is a weapon and he has to start to use that weapon. The good news for the Flames is, even though they've struggled to score of late, and this is something we probably haven't talked enough about, guys, they've been really good defensively. Like, they are tied for eighth in the NHL in goals against per game. Like, they've taken a major step in that regard. And if they can get some of these guys going individually, offensively, and the group, scoring again, half a goal a game, three quarters of a goal per game more moving forward, and that gets them going as a group offensively, then they're going to be an even tougher team.
Daily Flames Roundtable wrapping up. He's Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.